Okay, so we're going to do it tonight. About Pesach. Specifically about... specifically about the Maggid. Okay? So, Maggid. You heard the question, right? You know the answer, right? Okay. So, it's really about Maggid, which is where you tell the story about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the coming out of Egypt. So, the Gemara, the Mishnah says that when you tell the story, you have to maskil beginos mesayim mishvach. You begin with the bad stuff, and you end with the good stuff. Okay? You begin with bad things, which happens to Jewish people, and you end with good things that happen to Jewish people. Okay? So, what is that a reference to? So, the Gemara asks, what is that a reference to? What's the bad things? What's the good things? So the Gemara site brings down, there's an argument between two rabbis what that refers to. So Rav says it means you start with Mitzchila Odeva Zarai Avoseinu, which means originally, way back when, our forefathers were idolaters, they did about Zara, Avram Avinu, his father, they were originally doing, you know, bowing down to idols, like so Avram grew up. And ultimately, and now Hashem brought us back through the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim and through giving us the Torah. He brought us out of the whole way of life of the of idolatry of Avodah Zarah, and the Mitzrayim also did Avodah Zarah. And through the whole process, he brought us to worshiping of Hashem. Like you see, the Karban Pesach also was taking their idol, the sheep, and lamb and slaughtering and killing it, right? And that was part of breaking away from idolatry. So that's what he says, is that you begin with talking about how originally we were idolaters, we did Avodah Zarah, and now God Hashem brought us to his Avodah, to worshiping Hashem. Right? That's Rav. Shmuel says, no, different. What does it mean? You start with Avodim Hayinu L'Far Mitzrayim. We were slaves. Right? So is it pshat that we're starting with this second Shmuel, is the physical slavery and the physical redemption? God's Hashem saved us from the physical bondage of being slaves. Or is it a reference more to the, you could say, spiritual, or the fact that we were, you know, steeped in Zara, and Hashem took us out from that, and He saved us and brought us towards worship of Hashem. You know? That's seemingly the discussion, question, you know?
But it's like a factual thing of where
you start?
Where the Haggadah start.
Right, well, that apparently is the question. Well, what is the fact? Right? I mean, that it seems, simple way to learn, is that which one... Well, there's a question. Here's the question. What are they arguing about? So the one way to learn, which is the way the Rebbe... See, here's the big problem. The big problem to me is does Rav not mention Avodah Hayinu L'Farav Mitzrayim? Does he not mention that we were slaves? How could you tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim without mentioning that we were slaves and Hashem took us out of slavery? Is that possible?
He
right?
Does mention it, but it's after Abraham and okay. Terach, so okay. That's...
So the Ritva, who's a rabbi who explains this, he explains that the argument is everyone agrees that you mentioned both, that we were slaves and we were freed, and also that we were idolaters over the Zara and Hashem brought us out. Of course, you mention both. The question is just which one is first. Do you begin in the chronological order in history, that we started first with Avraham Avinu way back when, and then later came the slavery, Mitzrayim, and therefore that's the order? That's what Rav maintains. Or do you go like Shmuel, that even though the order in history started with Avodah Zarah, but since the focus of the night tonight is Yetzias Mitzrayim, you begin with us going for, you know, we were slaves, and then only afterwards do you mention Mitzchila. Yes. And that's what we do. We do, by the way, first we mention Avodah Hayinu, right after Manashtana we say Avodah Hayinu for Mitzrayim, and then at the end, the very end part of Maggid, we mention Mitzchila, we talk about Mitzchila, that we are idolaters. So that's what the Ritva learns, that everyone agrees that you say both of them. The only question is, which one do you start with? Which one is first? Right? That sounds reasonable. And that's the argument we happen to go like one. How do we, what would you say? We go like Shmuel, that we start with the Avodah Zarah. Right? That's all fine. The problem is the Ref and the Rein Chanano. They say that nowadays we do like both, Rav and Shmuel. Okay, nowadays we do like both of them. We're no way our custom is to do like both. Why is that a problem?
We always start with both.
Yes, you can't possibly start with both. If the riff, the riff's interpretation of the Machlokas is like the Ritva, that the question is which one do you do first, you can't say that nowadays we do like both of them, because we don't do both of them first, we only do one of them first. Right? So you can't possibly do like both positions, one says do this first, one says do that first. So what then would it seem you have to say is the way the Ritva learns the argument. I'm sorry, the riff learns the argument. Because if he says nowadays we do like both positions, what must you say he learns that he learns that the two positions are? Well, but then which one do you mean we do both then? How would that mean you do both? If the argument which is the more essential way to start, in what way do you mean we do both? We don't do both, we start with one.
This is
what's
kind of
next
to the Haggadah, because
it
says that the
Magid
starts with Halach
Ma'anyan. Yeah, it is. It's kind of how you start
Magid.
Then
Manashtana. So it's neither one.
Yeah, I know, but that's like, it's more of an intro. Halach Ma'anyan is like an intro, the Manashtana is the questions, and then Halach Ma'anyan is the answer.
But like the
content
of the Avodah Zarah anyways could be kind of interpreted as having both.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, you can squeeze the other things into it, but the plain text, which he says for that position, is about the, you know, and the plain text for the other one is Mitzvila. So we do them both, but that's their texts, right? Shmuel would say about the, you know, and Rab would say Mitzvila. I mean, I think the plain pshat, you may not want to say this, but the plain interpretation is that Rab would only say Mitzvila. He'd only talk about the fact that we were the wild worshippers, and Shmuel would only talk about the, you know. And nowadays, we do like both of them. Right? They're not arguing about first and second, because you can't do like both of them, but they're arguing about which one does the Mishnah mean when it says that we start with the bad stuff and then we go to the good. Does it mean that we start with Avodah Zarah and then the fact that Avodah Hashem? Or does it mean we start with sort of slaves, Avodah Meino, and end with the freedom? Right? And then the riff makes sense. He's saying nowadays we do like both of them. The problem being, how could it be that Rav says we only mention the fact that we are idol worshippers, and he simply leaves out the fact that we were slaves and God took us out of Mitzrayim? That seems hard to imagine that you could leave that out of the night. What is the night if not for Yitzhak Mitzrayim, talking about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, which is the fact that we were slaves? So while it seems to be a nice idea to talk about that we were idolaters and that we did Avodah Zarah and then Hashem took us out, seems to be impossible to imagine that you could leave out the fact that we are slaves. Right? That's my question.
Maybe it's saying that if...
I'm saying you follow the question, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You all see with me? Yeah. Okay. Let me see. You can go if you want, or you can stay. Okay. Whatever you want. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Maybe it's the opinion of Rav that if we were still Avodah Zarah, then we would still be Mitzrayim. The Avdus itself didn't matter. The physical condition didn't matter. More important was the spiritual connection to Hashem. And so that's why it's not a story about the Avdus necessarily. It's about that we needed to recognize, that Hashem was going to... all the miracles that happened were what, I guess the people were at such a level of Tama, and they had been so entrenched in Egyptian culture. And I think I remember learning actually once that it wasn't like the Jewish people were actually forced to become slaves. It was kind of a gradual process where first it was like, you can just work for the Egyptians, and it's such a great
empire, the Egyptian empire. It's an honor to work for the Egyptian empire. And then gradually it became about slavery. So they had become so, you know, spiritually downtrodden that really the whole exodus was not so much about releasing slaves, because they weren't being chained to their jobs. They were there because the inertia of just the day-to-day was keeping them there.
But I mean, we were being whipped and beaten and killed, you know. I mean, it doesn't sound like it was an optional slavery. Certainly not, right? And to say, to leave out the fact that we were redeemed from slavery seems to be an oversight.
Well, I'm a slave. I go into the office every day.
Yes, but you're not exactly, you know.
Yeah, no, it's not the same.
No. I mean, I'm almost asking like an impossible question. So I'm saying, how could it be that you can leave it out? Right? And whatever you're going to say, I'm going to say, well, how could it be that you can leave it out? Right?
Maybe not leaving it out, just that it's not as important as the other.
So if you say that, though, then what does it mean nowadays we do like both of them? Because then we don't say both of them, because they both, if you say they both agree that you say them both, so then what do you mean nowadays you like both of them? Oh, so I know what you may say. You'll say is that according to Rav, you do both. And according to Shmuel, you only do Avad Amayinu. Right? You may try to argue that. Rav says you do both Avad Amayinu and Mitchilo, we're slaves and we were idolaters. And Shmuel says we do only say Avad Amayinu. What's the problem with saying that? Yeah, then just say that we nowadays we do like Rav. Because Rav is the one who says do both of them. You don't have to say we do like both Rav and Shmuel. If Rav himself tells you to do Shmuel's thing, tells you to do both of them, then you say nowadays we do like Rav. But you see the fact that the Rav says nowadays we do like both, it implies that they don't hold by each other's thing. They each only say one. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Maybe there's a certain way to talk about it. Like, you can talk about slavery, rabbinical days talk about the slavery as like a non-essential part of it, the main part, like,
okay,
kind of saying, you know, but just, you know, this is the way it happened.
Okay. Okay.
Shmuel would say the slavery would be, you know, the main thing they're saying.
And you talk about the other one. You talk about the other one as inessential. And you leave, you downplay the other one.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and then nowadays we
talk about the Noach, and then we talk about all the miracles of Ezekiel and Sarayim, and then also about now we were, of the other Sarah. Like the slavery isn't just a way to get us to the Hashem, it's also a big component of Hashem. You know, thought and all the different Noachs.
So you mean that back then they're saying, which one do you talk about a lot and which one do you talk about a little? And then it says, we do,
yes,
like both, means we talk about them both a lot. Right?
Yeah.
I guess you could say that. It just still doesn't sound exactly like that's like doing like both of them, really. It's not exactly doing both of them, because part of Rav's thing is that you only talk about one and you kind of don't talk about the other.
Right.
Although, the truth is what I would have, if you would have asked me, this is another way to ask the question, is if I would have asked you, which one should you do? Should you talk about the Mayino? Or should you talk about that we were originally Ovad Zar? Which one would you say? If I would have asked you before you knew about this Gemara, I would have said, which one should you say? Should you talk about that we were originally slaves and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim? Or should you talk about that originally we did Ovad Zar and Hashem brought us to worshiping Hashem?
I would say the first.
You'd say the first, okay. Would anyone else say a different answer than that?
I would say, if you want to talk about the slavery, then you should start with Arami Ovid Avi.
Okay.
Because the whole cause of Yosef getting to Mitzrayim was
okay. Okay, fine. But let's leave that part out. Okay, that's a different question. So let's stay on this question. So I'm saying these two things. Which one would you say that you should say?
Between.
Avad Amayinu from Mitzrayim and Mitzchil.
Avad
Amayinu. Okay. Okay.
So
here's what I would say. I would say you do them both. I don't understand altogether why there are two choices. Who made up that we can only say one thing? If the night is about talking about what was bad and how Hashem did good stuff for us, And there clearly are two facets to what was bad and what Hashem did for us. We were slaves, terrible. We were idolaters, Avodah Zarah, terrible. Two totally different things. And through the whole process of Yetzias Mitzrayim, He really accomplished both of them. And shouldn't we be thankful and appreciative and expressing praise to God for both of them? Why is it this question, which one are you going to do? Like the Ritva says. I mean, the Ritva is plain. You do them both. Question first, second, that I understand. But what's the sense of the Rif? How does the Rif learn? Why is it that there's an assumption that you're only going to do one of them?
So then the Rif must be assuming that it's about order.
But he doesn't, because if he's assuming that, then what does it mean we go like both of them? The Ritva says it's order, but the Rif says we nowadays we do like both of them. So if the argument is about order, so then how can you say nowadays we do like both? You can't do like both orders, we only do one order. Right, that's what I'm saying, is that because he says we're doing like both, it doesn't seem that you could say that it's just a machlokas about order. Rather, it's a machlokas about which one you do. But I'm just asking in the first place, what would be the reasoning to say that you only do one?
He's
not addressing this question, is he?
I think he is. But like he's continuing from here where he's talking. Oh wait, I missed. What is it? Yeah, he is. He's continuing from here. It looks like that's right after that. That's an explanation of why you would start with Ovdei Avodah Zarah. He's explaining why would you start with Mitzchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah.
Okay, so see if he answers. I mean, I know there's a lot of things said about this thing. I'm just asking. The question I'm asking is how could you... Why not say both? And how could we say that you don't say about the Mayino?
Yeah. So there are a lot of, you know, different things in history that we could say. Can't just say them all. It's not a night just to say everything, you know?
Okay. It's true, but it is a night to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. It seems to be Yetzias Mitzrayim was both of these things.
Right,
it was a Mitzrayim was physical slavery, and it was a Mazaras was spiritual slavery. And this was the night, this was the redemption involved both of those aspects.
Right.
It seemed to be.
And it also seems that all the different things we do are for the physical slavery, like the matzah and the maror. It's all to remind us of that, and the night is supposed to be about those things, no?
Okay. I hear that if you say that it's only one, then I would also agree with all of you guys and pick about the Mayino. But at the same time, I don't see why. It doesn't seem to me that it's like doubling up two totally different things by shoving them both in. The Ritva is certainly more, you know, reasonable to me that you mention them both. For instance, we do them both. I don't think anyone at the Seder ever said, "Ooh, what are you doing? Two stories? What are you talking about? What's the main part of the story?" Are you told, right? They naturally weave together very nicely, you know? Doesn't seem to be so extra or anything to do them both. Right?
Well, I do find it in general a little funny in the Haggadah that, like, theoretically there's, like, one storyline.
Uh-huh.
But then you do have these, like, paragraph, tangential...
Yes. That's true. But that's not about this. That's just other stuff, you know? mean, the fact there was a story and they were sitting up all night.
But this, I mean, the whole angle or the whole bend of how the story is being told is shifted when
you
start with Avni Mayinu and then
you go back to Mithila. That's true. But that's seemingly because we really are like, it sounds like we're going really like Shmuel and saying with Mayinu, but then we're also shoving Rav in there later. Yeah. It seemed that way, so it doesn't really weave together very well. But if there were a position to do them both, you would think that it would be woven together, maybe perhaps a little more nicely, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like since we're doing like both of them, the Red Riff will say, "Yeah, of course it looks ugly because it's not really, no one really did both, you know." So it's kind of like, you know, Shmuel's would look, Rav's would look different. But, you know, it's like an after the fact shoving things together; it's not going to look very nice. Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts? Okay. So, I was learning this with Aaron, and we came up with the following. Okay, I think the first main step was this.
Aaron who?
Aaron Zimmer. Zimmer. Oh. Yeah, he's otherwise known as Zimmer.
I was thinking Aaron Eagles.
Yeah. People may not know that he has a first name. He does. Yeah, okay. So the thing is like this, that I'll ask you like this. What is the essence of the night of Pesach? And I'll give you two choices. Choice one, not these two choices, different choices. Choice one is it's a night where we are expressing thanks, appreciation for what Hashem did for us. Choice one. Choice two, it's a night where we are talking about the miracles that Hashem did and remembering the miracles that Hashem did. Right? It seems those are both facets of the night. But if I'd ask you, which one do you think is the essence of the night? What would you say? Second one. Okay, any other votes? You'd agree. Okay. You want to defend that?
I'm going
to disagree. What's
your choices? I'm going to disagree with the second one.
The second one is talking about the miracles that Hashem did and remembering those miracles, publicizing remembering those miracles. The first one is the idea of like praise for what God did to us, appreciation for the fact that we were this and we are this. And,
I don't think that was part of it, really.
Oh, okay,
but
fine.
We do say Hallel.
Yeah, we do say Hallel. We do talk about that we were slaves, and we do talk about that there were this and now we're this. Right? I mean, it's certainly part of what we talk about. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I would agree with you. The essence of the night is not us and what happened to us and us thanking Hashem. Of course, that's part of it. The essence of the night is eternalizing, memorializing, publicizing the miracles of Metzias Mitzrayim. And the miracles of Metzias Mitzrayim are like a cornerstone of our das, of our nation, of our religion. Okay? We're always remembering those miracles. Zechiras Yis Mitzrayim and Kiddush on Shabbos, we're saying Zechiras Mitzrayim and Tefillin and Zechiras Yis Mitzrayim, all the mitzvahs of Pesach and Matzah and more, you know. Now, other times, it's a theme which is ubiquitous in the Torah, right? What isn't Zechiras Yis Mitzrayim in some way or other, right? And the question always that comes up in many of the Rishonim, why such a focus? Zechiras Yis Mitzrayim, Zechiras Yis Mitzrayim. Okay, we remember Yis Mitzrayim. But they explain, the Ramban especially, the Chasei Rechinuch also, I'm sure others, is that basically Yetzias Mitzrayim was the public demonstration to the world, the Mitzrayim, the Jews, the world, of many, all the fundamentals of our religion. The fact that God exists, the fact that God created the world and therefore has control over the forces of nature, like that God interacts with the world, has a desire that man should live in XYZ way and not in a different way. Right? He rewards the righteous and he punishes the evil. Right? Many of the fundamentals of the Torah were indicated, proven, in a open, manifest fashion through Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Pasukim say that. L'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem l'man teda ki ani Hashem b'karav haaretz. Right? Many Pasukim like that. Right? L'man revos mofsai v'aretz. I mean, there's plenty of Pasukim. That was the clear, explicitly stated purpose of the Makos. It's not just to punish them, but it was to indicate, to prove through all these things that God is in control over the world in all the facets. He's no Nile River isn't powerful, and all their idolatries are nothing, and they're empty, and they're. It was totally to prove all the fundamental ideas of the Torah. And those were not just one time occurrences, but they were meant to last forever, to be eternalized in the minds, the collective consciousness of the Jewish people. How so? Through the many mitzvos which eternalize and memorialize those events. The focus on the Leil Pesach. The night of Pesach is once a year we make a big show out of to our kids, to our families, to our us, all of us. It's a focus on the center stage of all these ideas of Yisrael. It's a mitzvah all the time. Every day in Yisrael. Always. But there's once a year where we make it the centerpiece. And these become like the emphasis. And this is how we eternalize, memorialize for all future generations these events, which are cornerstones of our das. Right? That's the main objective. The main objective of the night. But, and for that, we don't really have to mention, intrinsically, what we were and where we ended up. The miracles themselves talk for themselves, intrinsically. We're talking about the miracles. It doesn't matter that we were slaves or that we were idolaters, essentially. The essence is not on us. It's on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Nisim and the Flos that he did. But the Mishnah says, Maschil v'gnosu m'saim shem, which means like this. You cannot simply have a night of miracles. That's bad. That gives the wrong implication. It's not just a magic night. Let's tell our unbelievable, magical, and fantastic stories. That's not the idea. That's not Torah's idea. It's not just a night of miracles. But it's a night of concepts and ideas. And the miracles have to be understood within a certain perspective. A perspective that the miracles were saving the Jewish people, the Bnei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, bringing them from slavery to freedom, bringing them from idolatry to Avodas Hashem. There was a context of the miracles. The miracles, God values, so to speak, the laws of nature. The laws of nature are his creation, his world. The breach in the laws of nature were for an objective of bringing out, saving a nation, bringing a nation towards a proper way of life, towards Avodas Hashem. We have to be maskil v'gnosim v'slayim v'shevach to properly give context to the miracles so that the miracles are understood in their proper idea. But it's not a focus on us. It's not because we want to focus on all the great things that happened to us and all the terrible things where we were and where we are and where we're going. It's there to qualify, to provide a proper context to the story of the Nisim and the Flos. And as such, essentially, it does not really matter what the Gnus and what the Shalach is. The Mishnah doesn't even say. It doesn't matter. So essentially, in terms of the Mishnah, the main emphasis is that you start with Gnus and you end with Shalach. You start with a bad to Klal Yisrael and you end with a good to Klal Yisrael. And thereby you give context that the miracles were to save Klal Yisrael or to help Klal Yisrael. That's the essence. Which one you use is not that significant. What they're arguing about, though, Rav and Shmuel, is given that you're going to be Masul Nesu Sayyid Shevach, what's the best way to do it? So might as well not be arbitrary about it. Might as well, is there a better one? So Rav held better to talk about the philosophical ideals which the Mishnah brought about. Avodah Zarah, Avodas Hashem. After all, that's the going to provide context to the whole the Nisim. That's the essence of them. The essence of the Nisim is the philosophy, the philosophical ideas. Shmuel argues you want to make something which is a little more close to the heart, so to speak. Something which talks to people. in a more concrete way. And if you talk about Avodah Zarah, we were slaves, and God brought us out of slavery, that's a more immediate, concrete goal, something which person could relate to, and that's better to use to ground, to give context to the Nisim. But essentially, again, it's a detailed argument. What's better? What's a better option to use to give context to it? But it doesn't mean you don't need both. See, because if the night, here's the point, if the night were essentially about us giving praise to God for what He did for us, then we should have to mention both. Because there are two aspects I could use, separate them out, and they're both part of our praise. To leave one out is like an oversight. But if the essence of the night is about Nisim Mitzrayim, and we simply have to mention us as a way of providing context to the Nisim, and to indicate the Nisim aren't just miracle stories, but they're related to Hashem saving a people, then it's sufficient just to mention one of them. It's sufficient to mention one of them. It's not the essence of the night. The theme of the night isn't to be elaborate about what happened to us. And that's not the point. The point is to tell the story of the Nisim. But what the Rif says, nowadays, there's nothing wrong with doing both. So we as an Am took it upon ourselves to elaborate a little bit on that aspect, on the Shevach V'Hodah aspect of the night, on the idea of how it benefited us. And we mentioned both of them. Our minhag is to do both. There's no reason why, even though the essential halach of why it's introduced is to give context to the Nisim, and it's sufficient to have one, our minhag is to do both. We elaborate on it, we talk about the Shevach V'Hodah, we see how it benefited us in both respects. And no one's against doing it in both respects. It's just that it's not necessary. But we say, listen, the theme of the night is Nisan flows, but let's also focus on the other aspect, and let's emphasize, give context to the Nis through both of them. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. You know what I mean?
Can I ask a question about the miracle aspect?
Yes.
So, Sefer Yetzirah Shemayim is one of the Tari Mitzvos?
Yes.
It is one of the Tari Mitzvos. Yeah. What's the idea of, so you're saying the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mitzvah is about retelling the miracles that happened.
Yes.
In the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Yes.
But what's the idea behind that? Why would Hashem command us, Hashem doesn't need us to sit around a table once a year and talk about miracles that Hashem did.
Right.
So it must be that it's for our own character that we're doing this.
Yes.
And it's because we need to transmit something to our children.
Yes.
We need to teach them some value, something important,
yes,
like what's important.
Right.
So what does it have to do with Maschil Beknos and Simon? First of all, what's the idea behind it in general? But then, how does that connect to starting with the Knos?
Okay, I mean, I'll repeat it. I thought I was explaining that, but
I'm confused. I must be very tired because I'm not following.
Okay, Jeff, I mean, you're saying just talk about the miracles. You're not just saying say the miracles. You're saying say the miracles and how they teach about Hashem.
Most the essence is it's not just telling miracles.
Right.
You want to transmit to your children about the old ideas which the miracles indicate. The miracles indicate that there is a God who created the world, who relates to man, who leads man along a path away from idolatry towards the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All the ideas of the miracles, if you study the Nehi the Makos, the different ideas which are manifested in the miracles which God was teaching. The Makos were like a educational, educational program where God basically taught the Mitzrayim and the Jews many ideas about God, and then he undermined, debunked false ideas of the Mitzrayim and taught true ideas. So when we're repeating and making this part of our consciousness, which we're telling all the generations, the essence is the ideas which we gained from the miracles. So that's why that's important. Now the Maschil Beknos and Simon Shevach I'm saying is essentially that's not part of it. Essentially it's not necessary, because the miracles are the miracles themselves, is the ideas about the miracles. But what I'm saying is that the Maschil Beknos and Simon Shevach is there to provide context to the miracles. That the miracles are not just a story of miracles, but the miracles were based upon a people, a nation, Avraham Yitzchak and Abraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, who were in a bad state, and the miracles were bringing them to a good state. So it gives a context for where the miracles were. And it gives,
I don't see why you need that context. context, but they're saying that the miracles themselves are a context. They're teaching people about Hashem. So who cares? You don't really need, you need all of them to bring the Jews out of the Exodus of Mitzrayim, you know? The main point was to teach everyone about Hashem. All you needed was one.
No, I thought we're saying that it's on the night of the Seder, it's important to give a backdrop for the discussion, not just to have a discussion of the
Right, but I'm saying, I guess the point is that one facet of the miracles is, one of the ideas of the miracles is that God does miracles to benefit a nation of people who are at a high level and to bring them from a bad state to a good state.
Most of them were for the benefit of the Jews.
No, they were. Well, the miracles were. I mean, the miracles as a whole were, if there's no Jewish people, God wasn't just doing miracles to show everybody ideas. Right, it was based upon... No, you didn't. I'm not saying that's the only idea in the Makos. What I'm saying is that that's the context in which the Makos existed. So they were Makos, they were punishing the Mitzrim. We were slaves and we were whatever, and they were punishing the Mitzrim who were either... beating us or had a... differentiating between the Jews and the Mitzrayim, and that's a big part of the theme of the Makos. So the theme of the Makos is not just miracles, but miracles relating to certain people and avoiding other people, the discernment between the different people. So it's like the Gnos and the Shavach of us, we're part of the miracles, but more insofar as the ideas it casts about the miracles, not so much about how it benefits us or harms us, so it's not about us, but it's just that we're part of the story, that we were the acts, we were here and we are there, and the miracles are part of us. That's part of the idea that God does miracles for us, for people who are at a certain type of a level and against people who are at a different type of level. All right? Yeah, okay, good question.
So then, can we say that the original Makloket can be reframed as like maybe a dispute over which is a better backdrop?
Yes, exactly. Which is a better backdrop? Is it a better backdrop to use the physical slavery, or is it a better backdrop to use that which is more tied in with the underlying like philosophical slavery and the philosophical dimensions of slavery? But it's like a separate...
Are metaphysical by nature.
Yes, so you could argue, since they're metaphysical lessons, so therefore the more fundamental backdrop is the metaphysical state that we were in and the metaphysical state that it brought us to. Because that's the essence of what the miracles were. So you could argue, the better backdrop is the Avodah Zarah and the Avodah Hashem. That's the more fundamental, higher level objective of the miracles, is on that philosophical level. But Shmuel argues that a better context is the more like immediate. Like that's in a more larger global sense, but there's an immediate physical problem that the miracles were addressing, which is that we were slaves, we were being beaten, and we were being saved. So it's like a better context to provide is like the, it's like a more concrete, manifest thing versus a more, broader, more global, abstract perspective.
So maybe the concept that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about is actually about the style of teaching. Because just like we talk about the Arba Banim,
right,
and each child has their own way of asking questions,
right,
you have to teach them in a certain way. So the same thing is when you're talking about Sefer Yisrael and all the miracles that happen, some kids will learn better if you talk about the physical, that we were slaves and then we were freed.
Right.
And some kids will remember it better if we talk about the spiritual part of it.
It's true. Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. It's like, was Rav dead set on his way against Shmuel's way, or maybe they both liked them both, and they said it's a matter of you could choose, perhaps that's the case. That's my main point, is that the Machlokas is more of like a level 2 Machlokas. It's more of like the Mishnah just says Machlokas and Shavach. That's the main point. Now they're arguing what's the best way to do it. Maybe they're, it's recommendations or whatever, and this is now they do both. Because they're not essentially at odds with one another, it's just like in a detail is like which one's the better way to do it. And yeah, it's possible to say what you're saying, that maybe they both said they're both good. And it just depended. In general, maybe one thought it's better, but maybe in theory they would both approve of the other ones. And then to say that they're against the other persons could be like, there's sometimes in Gemara says, Maramachadav Lopligi. One person says this, one person says that, but they're not arguing. It's possible that that's the case. Or it could be, look, they held that it should be objectified across the board, and now it's a question which one's a better way to objectify it. You know, in which case, I don't know exactly what they're arguing, which one's better, but, you know, you could see that kind of a question. My main point is just to show that once you say the essence is the miracles, then it's, you could imagine not talking about that we were slaves and that we went free. That was the original question. How could that possibly be? Because the premise of that question is that the night is essentially talking about us and the benefit which accrued to us. The essence of the night is not about us. The essence of the night is about the miracles which God did and the ideas we learned about God. And it's possible to imagine that you're not going to really talk about us being slaves and us going free. Right? I mean, you may bring it up, but it's not necessary. Because as long as you talk about that we were idolaters and God did all these miracles to teach all these philosophical ideas and then brought us to Avodas Hashem and we learn all the ideas, of course you have to tell the story, but the story is not the us aspect of the story. It will be the Hashgachas Hashem and the ideas about God aspect of the story. And that's fine. So that's what I'm saying, is the premise of the question was a subtle assumption that the essence of the night is about what happened to us. And therefore you say, how could you not talk about us and our slavery? But the answer is that that's not the focus. That's mentioned, yes, but us, we are there, but we are not the focus. And I think it's important in terms of the Seder to try to keep that focus. That the focus of the Seder is the ideas about God, which were learned through the Makos, because these were done. God doesn't do all these miracles every single generation. He did them once, and He eternalized them for all the generations through this Seder night, or through many mitzvahs, but a major one is the Seder night. So that's, you know, part of what we should be doing on the Seder night is to, you know, to focus on these major ideas which the Makos indicate. God is, again, it's an amazing thing. The Makos were like an educational program which God taught the world all these ideas about him through the step-by-step-by-step method, like a 10-step program of teaching ideas about God. So, I mean, doesn't happen ordinarily. You know, there's a lot to learn from.
Those lessons seem to have been lost to the, I mean, not to the Jewish people, but they seem to have been lost,
yes,
to the nations of the world.
That's true.
If you look at secular or non-Jewish representations of the Makos, like if you look at the Disney movie Prince of Egypt, or if you look at the Ten Commandments or whatever, there's no connection to God
for sure. But that's not a testament.
Teaching something with each of the Makos.
That's true. But that's why we have to maintain the, you know, look, we're in a bad state. We're in a world which is not really tied in with true ideas of God. Unfortunately, sometimes Jews don't have good ideas about the Makos either. But that doesn't change what the mitzvah is. It's for us to try to maintain the true ideas. And all the more so, we should be careful to try to, you know, maintain the true ideas for us and our children, and hopefully, you know, in future generations, they'll be maintained on a proper level, and we'll be able to teach the world these ideas. But you're right, unfortunately, we don't have sway over the world, and we can't really, you know, decide what gets in Disney movies, or, you know. But it has to start at home, you know. So we have to focus on the ideas and the proper ideas that we can learn from the Seder, teach it to our kids and then to their kids, and then, you know, that's how the Vesara is maintained. And hopefully one day soon we'll be able to, you know, reach out to the world and teach them these ideas as well. Yeah.
So what's the first position that you could say, which one you start with?
Oh, Ritva? I don't know. It's a good question. He learns, I don't know. Apparently he learns that you, I don't know, I'm not sure. Good question. Maybe he learns you could do both of them to provide context. That's a question. I don't know. I'm just
yeah,
trying to.
Which one you start with. Yeah.
What? Well, I kind of see who cares. It's just a matter. It's like a second type of secondary kind of question. It's like, what's the proper way to organize the Haggadah? Do you go chronologically, or do you go by like the more essential theme in the night? Something
it's
like that.
A
you know?
Seder, so it should.
Yeah, there's the Seder, exactly.
Concept of
right,
order.
It's Machlokas and Seder, exactly. Seder go chronologically, which is often the time of the way you go. Or you say that since the focus is the event of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so the Seder should go, just jump to that, and then we'll say, okay, now let's go back to Mitzrayim, you know? It's like a question. It's like you kind of see, it's like, what's the proper way to organize things? Sometimes, you know, you have the essence of what you want to say, in a certain sense you want to start with that. On the other hand, there's a backstory. Something like that, you know? My job, my goal here was more to explain to use the Ritvat to show how difficult the, you know, the other way of the Ref was, and to explain the Ref, you know. But I don't really have a, you know, a fully thought out explanation for the Ritvat. Okay?
It's also that if he's going to have a lot to say about Magid, he said, I just have to ask the questions. Daddy has to answer them. I don't have to say anything. I just have to ask a lot of questions.